Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Person I'm really glad I know, Andy Williams, who's going to preach today. Yay, Andy. Can I pray for you real quick?
Yes. I'm not allowed to say no, am I?
No, it'd be really awkward. Really awkward. Lord, I just ask you to bless this man. We know he loves you, and that's the most desirable part of his character is how much he cares and loves you. Lord, I just ask you to bless him today. Let him do what you've created him to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Love you, dude.
Oh, you need that? Yeah.
Thanks. The reason John was late coming up to stage then was because we were discussing the joke that Caleb just told. He didn't understand it. I understood it. We understood it. But John did not understand it. Good morning. How are we all today? Hey, just really quick, for 30 seconds, turn to the person next to you, turn to someone behind you, around you, who maybe you know, maybe you don't know, and just introduce yourself to them. 3, 2, 1, go! That's always my least favorite part of the meeting, so when I get to stay on the stage, I like to do it. I know, I'm that guy. Hey, this morning, I just feel, just in worship as well, and throughout the morning, I've just felt a real tenderness in my heart, just to really follow what the Lord is saying. Like, I got a message, but sometimes whenever we lead worship, you probably realize by now that we don't always sing our songs. Sometimes we sing songs that we're not planning on singing. And for me, that's just part of following what Holy Spirit is doing and what he's saying. We worship a God who's alive, speaking, moving, talking. We sing to him, and I believe he responds and sings back to us. So we need to be in a position to move around and flex our plan, flex our meeting accordingly. And I just feel that quite strongly this morning. So if you want to go with me, like, I'm going to set off, and I don't really know where we're going to land. We might land exactly where I think we might. We might not. Yeah. Do you guys know Wallace and Gromit? Have you heard of Wallace and Gromit? Is that like a thing that most people would know? You seen the wrong trousers where, like, there's that penguin, like the chicken penguin baddie? No? Yeah, kind of. Okay, there's a scene in a film that none of you have seen, and I'll try and explain it to you, where they're going through a house on a model train track, and Gromit, who's this, is Gromit a dog? Gromit was in the front of the train, and he's got a big, like, pile of train track in his hand, and he's just, like, laying it down as he goes. Like, the train's going full pelt. He's got this big pile of train track, and he's like navigating like the dining room table and the sofa, and then he's going up the stairs and back down again, and he's just laying track as fast as he can. I think that's a perfect illustration of like ministry and leading worship and stuff. It's like, cool, I've got my pile of tracks, and I don't really know where we're going to end up, but we've got what we need to navigate our way through. Whenever I teach on worship, that's what I tell worship leaders. Like, just make sure your track's all good. So that's what we're going to do this morning. I just want to start again by just honoring two people who have been, since we arrived 8.5 months ago, there's just been a number of people, everyone in this room, in fact, who have just been so kind to us, blessed us, been generous to us, looked after our kids, shown love and support to us. And we're really, really grateful for that. And there's been two people who, for me in particular, I've seen close hand just how much they have given to us and our family. But also, I've recognized over the last 8, 9 months that whenever I talk to people in this church, it's not just us. It's everyone here seems to just have the same thing to say about these people. And they'll hate this. which is why I'm doing it. But Greg and Angie, could you just stand, please? Greg and Angie, just that ripple of applause in this room doesn't do justice for just what you mean to this group of people and who you are to them. And I just wanted to take a minute just to honor you publicly for everything you do, the way that you serve, the way that you love people. I was talking about this yesterday with Steph, and I said, Steph, it was about 8 o'clock at night. I said, Steph, if I called Greg right now and said, I need you, he'd be here within 10 minutes. And I know that that's across the church. The way that you love God's people is like profoundly impacting me. And I know that it's not just me and Steph, it's for us in this church. So just want to honor you guys. Can we just stretch our hands out to them? I want to pray. Lord, we just thank you for this amazing couple. We thank you for their family. We thank you for your plan over their life. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them in the next couple of weeks with rest, with relaxation, with quality time together, quality time with family, and quality time with you. Any area of their heart, any area of their lives that just feels like they're tired or exhausted, that you would fill them up, Holy Spirit, that they would come back feeling refreshed and replenished in Jesus' mighty name. Give them a massive, 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 massive round of applause. Angie hated that. All right, guys. So we are going to go on an adventure this morning. Are you ready? All right, sweet. I'm going to read a little bit out of Luke 10. I'm going to just, you know, it's a big, long chapter or a big, long book. But I'm going to skip over the first little bits of it and kind of summarize as we go. So Luke 10 has always confused me a little bit. It's like in Luke's writing, he's kind of like trying to say something that I've never really understood. And I listened to Isaac's message last week and just kind of started reading Luke this week and thought, maybe there's something here. But Luke 10 for me is like, feels like the going like chapter in Luke. Well, there's lots, but like, it's just go, go, go. It starts off, and the title in my Bible, reading at the NIV, says, Jesus sends out the 72. And then he describes what those 72 are going to do and how to do it. It's all about going. Go, go, go. This is how you do it. These are the instructions. This is what you do when you arrive in people's home, when you arrive in people's town. This is how you minister to people. There's a big chunk of Luke which is dedicated to that. And then after that, we get onto, like, for me, probably the most recognizable, one of the most recognizable stories in the Bible. Finn came back from church probably about 2 or 3 months ago, and he said, hey, I've learned about someone who got robbed, and then someone looked after him, and it was really cool. And I guarantee you, certainly in England anyway, I don't know about here, but if you spoke to 9 out of 10 people on the street, even if they'd never been in church before because they've went to school, and you said, hey, tell me about the Good Samaritan. What happens in the story of the Good Samaritan? They'd probably be able to give you a fairly decent grid for what happens in that story. And Jesus unpacks that in Luke 10. After he talks about sending out the 72, he then talks about the Good Samaritan, which again, for me, is like, cool. This is how you treat people who are your enemies. This is your neighbor. This is who your neighbor is. It doesn't matter who they are, where they come from. Your neighbor is the person that you may love or the person that you might not love so much. We have to treat them as our neighbors always. And it's this really practical doing passage. Like, do this, do this. This is how you treat people. And then this is the bit that always confused me. Because after these two stories, and it's kind of like out of nowhere, Luke just decides to put this little, tiny little story at the end. And it doesn't seem to fit with the rest of Luke 10. Doesn't seem to kind of fit in there. And I'm going to read that because it goes straight from the Good Samaritan. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. That's the last four words that he says, go and do likewise, and then straight into this story. And we're reading from verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened a home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all of the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus replies, Martha, Martha. I just hear like kindness in Jesus' voice. Anytime those letters are read, it's just, kindness. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. And this like story is just like way out of left field for me reading it. I'm like, this is go, 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 go. This is what the 72 men are do. Go and do it. Here's your Good Samaritan story. Right, cool. This is how you behave. This is how you act. And now it's kind of like the whole thing just kind of does a U-turn a little bit, and you read the story and you're like, wait, so what? Am I not meant to do stuff? Like, what's the better thing? Like, you've just said go and do it. And now I'm a bit confused because there's a better thing than doing it. And now I don't know what's happening. And I want to just talk about that today. And I really want to talk about it in like, I guess this is maybe part two of what Isaac spoke about last week. If you weren't here, didn't hear it, go back online on the app or on Spotify or just wherever you can listen to that message. It was a phenomenal message. I texted Tom and was like, why did you have me speak after Isaac? Like, that's really cruel. So yeah, I'm probably not going to be as entertaining as him, but we can see. And so this is part two to Isaac's part one. Just to give you a little bit of background about me, who I am. We obviously moved here from England 8.5 months ago. And I was born in a city called York, which is the original, the OG York, not the New York, the original one. It's not quite as exciting or fun, but it's there. And it was a city, and it was actually founded like basically like at the same time that this was being written, like York was being established. AD 70 was like the first evidence of human settlement in York. It was a Roman city. The Roman capital of Britain when they invaded was York for a long period of time. And if you go there now, there is a Roman wall around it that you can walk on. You can walk on this wall and pretend to be a centurion, which is what I did quite a lot growing up. And Yorkshire's in the heart, is in the heart of Yorkshire, obviously. And it's in the heart of basically the north of England, which is stereotyped by hard people. It's a mining community, working class community. There's a phrase which is, it says Yorkshire grit. Yorkshire people are gritty. We just dig in and we stay and we make do and we just kind of crack on with it. That was, I'm using lots of British phrases. Yeah, crack on. We just do things, even when they're difficult, even when they're hard, we're going to do them because it's inbuilt into us. And I'm sure like there's parts of this country as well, I just don't know it enough, where that would probably be the place, kind of salt of the earth, hardworking, practical people who just do it. They get the job done. That's Yorkshire people. It's a mining community. And I was speaking to my mum yesterday, and She's in our house currently in England that we own. We're renting it. We're in the process of renting it out to somebody else. And she was just looking around it, and she said, the bin's broken, the trash can. And I said I was going to get that right. The trash can is broken. What do you want to do with it? And we both just went, just throw it away. It's fine. Like, we'll just buy a new one. Not a problem. We'll do that. And my mum, who's from Bradford, from Yorkshire, Bradford's like really, really working class. She said, I'm not going to throw it away. It's only a little bit broken. We'll just fix it. Like, I'll make do with it. Like, it'll be fine. I'll either fix it or I'll just make do with it. And it just kind of jumped out into my mind. I was like, that's Yorkshire. That's what Yorkshire people do. They just go, it didn't fully work, but I'll just deal with it until it's literally disintegrated into dust. And then I might consider getting a new one. That's what Yorkshire people do. And it just reminded me, like, that's kind of inbuilt into my culture. That same kind of mindset. Obviously, it's wearing thin a little bit because I was like, buy a new bin. But there's this, if you look at my family, we all work really hard. We take our jobs really seriously. When I moved down south in England, I didn't really get people who, they like took a week off for their birthday. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you taking a week off for your birthday? It's just your birthday. Just go to work on your birthday. It's fine. But like, it's just a difference in culture. And I've just carried this hard work. Work hard. Do. It's all about what you do. It's about shaping things and doing things and accomplishing things and getting them right. And that's part of my culture. And back in 2018, sharing a little bit of my testimony with you guys this morning. Back in 2018, I was doing the stuff. Read Luke 10, was like, cool. So Jesus is sending out the 72. This is what we do and this is how we do it. So I'm going to do it. And I'm going to bless people, and I'm going to serve people, and I'm going to give myself to people. Just going to go, do. I was just giving myself. Like in the story of the Good Samaritan, if there was someone that needed help, I was there to help them. I was going to move mountains to help them. I was going to make it happen. And I was doing, working at the church in Bath, worship pastor full time, more than full time, just going as hard as I could, as fast as I could, to help, to serve, to bless people. My motive, my intentions were great, but I burnt out big time, completely burnt out. Steph's here like, yes, you did. I went from just going crazy. We used to have two meetings on a Sunday in Bath. We used to have, we were talking about this the other day. We used to have a Sunday morning. So I was up getting ready to lead worship Sunday morning, there at 7 o'clock, left at 1 o'clock, went home, shoved some food in my face, had a little nap, and then set off for church again at 3. So I had 2 hours off, 3 o'clock, back for 4, sound check, rehearsal, went again, got out of church at 9:30 at night. It gets better, I promise. And doing that every week, and giving. I just burnt out big time. We used to live on in a top floor flat in the center of Bath. 70 steps all the way up, 70 steps all the way down. I know that because when Steph was pregnant with Finn, she counted. And when she was in the beginnings of labor and they told you to go home, you refused. You were like, nope, I'm not going on my 70 steps, no chance. Which is fair enough, I think. And it got to the point where I left my flat, got down the bottom of the stairs and had to sit down, and I couldn't go any further. I was physically exhausted, physically completely burnt out. We were actually, I thought about this morning, we were meant to fly here. We had flights booked to fly and come and visit you guys. And I called Dan and Tom. I was like, guys, I can't move. I can't walk down the stairs. I am just done. I'm broken. I got to stop. I got to rest. And the Lord taught me quite a lot. I've got into Psalm 23. I was like, right, we're going to rest. And Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters and he guides me in paths of righteousness. I got into Sabbath and rest. And I learned that there's times where the Lord makes you lie down. It's like, okay, yep, you've not been resting. You've not been giving me the rest that I want you to have. So I'm going to make you sit down. Sometimes he leads you, takes you by the hand, then he leads you into rest, and sometimes he guides you alongside you. And that's a message for another day. But I just started trying to kind of dig into rest and Sabbath. And what does it mean to just not do all the time, not find myself in my doing, but actually find myself in my being and in my resting. And this is why this is kind of part two of Isaac's message. Because the two of these things go hand in hand. Doing has to go with being. And being has to go with doing. It's not all about one or the other. And if you're anything like me, I listened to Isaac's message last week, and I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, the answer is just do everything. Cool, we're going to go. We're going to do it. And that's not what Isaac was saying. And it's also not, I believe, what Jesus models in his ministry and throughout Scripture, of just the way that we as followers and disciples of him should behave. I think that what Luke is getting at here by putting this story right here next to those two amazing, almost like blueprints of what it looks like to do, is he's saying, guys, it's all about balance. It's about balance. It's about balance. Isaac used an amazing analogy last week about he works in a place where there's water. I didn't really understand where he was, but there's water and it gets stagnant. And if you've ever been around stagnant water, it's just the worst smell ever imaginable, ever, ever. It's just horrendous. And that's what happens when there's no outflow. When there's no outflow, water just sits and it gets stagnant. But if there's no inflow either, the water eventually just dries up. It's not there. There is no water if there's no inflow. I was thinking about the Sea of Galilee is one of the most life-rich bodies of water in the world. It has an inflow and an outflow. It's just full of life, teeming with life. But the Dead Sea, a little further south, doesn't have an outflow. And it is exactly what it's described. It's dead. It's fairly lifeless. It's good to look at and to float around in, but it's not going to bring life. And then I thought, well, what does a body of water look like that doesn't have an inflow? Like a dry land. Like it's dried up. Like it would just be a hole in the ground. Like there won't be any water in it. And that's why this is all about balance. This is about having an inflow and an outflow. And when you do that, you are the Sea of Galilee. You're just full of life, teeming with life, enough to give to all those around you and support communities and support people around you. And I believe that this is the passage that we're talking about today. I think that that's the purpose of it being here, was for balance. Because Jesus did this so well in his ministry. I used to play a lot of tennis when I was younger, and my coach would always talk about the ready position. I've been watching it on the Olympics. I don't know if you guys have been watching the Olympics or not. It's really fun. By the way, if you just want entertainment, on Instagram at the moment, there's lots of like gymnastic things going around of people who tried like vaulting and it went horribly wrong, but not like horribly wrong, just funnily wrong. And the caption is, unfortunately, the USA didn't pick me to represent the United States. It's brilliant. It's hilarious. You should definitely watch it. We've been watching the tennis. Steph loves the tennis. And I've just been thinking about being coached when I was younger playing tennis. My brother played against Andy Murray, which is my claim to fame. It's mainly his. But he was really good at tennis. And the coaches would always talk about, number one rule of tennis is your footwork. And the second one is your ready position. You're always getting back into your ready position. What's your ready position? You'll see them. They'll hit the ball and then they'll go back to their ready position. Their spring in their ankles and their knees, they're just ready to go. And then they need to move over here. They hit the ball and they're back in their ready position. And it won't just be tennis. I'm sure there's lots of sports that do that as well. But I was thinking about this, like Jesus's ready position, the place that he always seemed to like spring back to, was prayer, isolation, and prayer. The Gospels are full of Jesus ministering, doing stuff. But you always sprung back to like, cool, okay, I'm just going to go now up a mountain just by myself. I just need to spend time with the Father, because he recognized that he needs to be filled up in order to be poured out. He needs to spend time with the Father, ministering to him, just sat, hanging off every word he has to say, just letting him minister to his heart in order to be able to minister to those around him and minister to other people. And that, if it was true for Jesus, I mean, it's got to be true for us. It has to be true for us. And I look at this story, and I find it really easy, honestly, to relate to Martha here. I'm kind of like, I don't know if she really did anything wrong. Like, there's stuff to do, and Mary's just sat there, like, doing nothing. Just kind of, like, sat at Jesus' feet. That would annoy me if I was Martha, being completely honest. A couple of months ago, it was our son Toby's birthday party, which happened to be on the same day as the FA Cup final, which is kind of the Super Bowl of soccer. And I didn't realize this, so I organized to get some people around and watch the football, the soccer, until Steph kindly reminded me that it was Toby's birthday party. So I thought, I probably shouldn't do that. So I, in the morning, was setting up, helping set up for Toby's birthday party. And a thought went through my mind. Tell you what, I could put the game on my phone, or maybe on the TV, and I could just sit and watch it for a little bit. That'll be fine, right? She said, she's shaking her head. Yeah, not okay, right? Not the thing to do. I should have been helping, should have been doing stuff. Yeah, okay. So I can relate completely, because I thought the same thing, which is why I didn't do it. I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's really mean. That's really horrible. When there's stuff to do and there's stuff around you, I think it's much more natural for us to be like, cool, I'll do it. I'll help. I won't rest. I won't just stop and do nothing. But here, Mary is. It's like the image I have of the scene is Martha just running around the house with tons of stuff to do. Jesus is there. The disciples are there. There's lots going on. Mary's like, cool, I'm just gonna sit down and listen to Jesus, actually. And Martha's like, what are you doing? There's stuff to do. Why are you doing this? I totally get that. Can totally relate to that. That to me, as I'm sure probably to most of us in this room, would be a natural response to that. If it is not, then I don't know. You must anger a lot of people around you. And then Jesus turns around to Martha, who's like, can you tell her to do something? There's plenty to do. I'm doing it all. And she's not doing a single thing. And it looks like she's just having a lovely old time. And I don't even know what you guys are talking about, because I'm too busy doing stuff. And Jesus is like, Martha, Martha. Tenderness, softness in his voice. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And there's a word that just jumped out just a little bit earlier on, which I think is the key word in this passage. Verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha was distracted. She lost sight of the presence of Jesus in her own home because of all the things that needed doing, that had to be done. And Jesus' response is, there's a better thing than doing all of this stuff, which is recognizing and acknowledging my presence and simply sitting at my feet, hanging off every word. And I don't know about you, I find that so hard, so hard. I find it way easier to just do stuff. And what I want to bring this morning is an opportunity for us to, I guess, recenter and realign ourselves in this place of just sitting, receiving, resting in Him. It's not that doing things is bad. And it's not that simply being is really good. It's about both of them. It's that flow and that balance of one leads to the other, which leads to the other, which leads to the other. God is a God of seasons. There's always rhythm and always season in the way God has made things. And I think that's true of this as well. So I think there's three ways that we respond to this. I actually would love to, I write songs. It's probably the thing that I hide the most, but the Lord's like, you should do that. And I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to. It's kind of scary. And I actually wrote a song off the back of 2018, which is just this in a message. I'll probably just, in a moment, I'd love to just sing it over you guys, just in response to this. But there's three things that we can take away from this story and this balance, and that ours are repentance. I don't know about you, the older I get, the more I repent. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, sorry, again. I'm going to turn around and go this way. But search our hearts, Lord. David writes in Psalm 27, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. To get loads of money, to have loads of influence, to get like the best job we can, to get a brand new car or a bigger house or just any of those things. Is it that? No. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Lord, we want to repent this morning for anywhere where we've just been distracted, as Martha was, by the doing of things at the cost of sitting at your feet, hanging off every word that you say, and being filled up so that we can give out. Where we've just been giving, 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 and maybe our identity has been found in our giving, in what we're doing. We say, sorry. We want our identity to be found in who we are with You, Lord Jesus. Just who You are with us. That's it. There is nothing we can do to make You love us anymore. And there is nothing we can do to make You love us any less. You love us because You love us. The second R is to reposition. How are we going to reposition our lives to create that space to spend time with Jesus? Just sitting at His feet, as Jesus did. He ministered, He ministered, He ministered, and then He repositioned Himself, took Himself off to a mountain, to a quiet place. Maybe that's your backyard. Maybe that's a specific place in your house. Maybe that's driving to work in the car. Maybe it's going for a walk. But that place where you're like, I am not giving out anything here. This is just for me and You, Jesus. This is just our place. A thin place where heaven touches earth. And I'm going to make that part of my routine. I'm going to reposition myself. Just like that tennis player, I'm going to make my ready position with You, Jesus. So I'm not giving out all the time, but my ready position is here, just with You, just with You. And rhythm. If we breathed out all the time, we would eventually pass out. If we breathed in all the time, we would eventually pass out. We need rhythm to breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. And that's what we want to do as followers of Jesus. We want to breathe in, spending time with the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Minister to me. And breathe out to bless those around us. So I'm going to real quick jump up onto the stage and sing a song. And then John, you can take this mic. But just for a couple of minutes, just as I sing this, it's not a long song, just invite you, close your eyes, do whatever you need to do to give the Lord your full, undivided attention with those three things in your heart. Repentance, Lord, I'm sorry. Reposition, I want to reposition myself to be with you. And rhythm. I want to breathe in and breathe out, and breathe in and breathe out.
I am not going to sing, I promise. Andy is beautiful. Thank you very much. Let's give it up for Andy. So remember, repentance, reposition, and rhythm. God is all about us having a life of balance. He also calls us to have a life of purpose and success. But as Andy sung, always choose the better thing. When you feel like you're out of balance, choose the better thing. Choose Jesus. Choose to sit at his feet, and you'll be back in balance, guaranteed. So, prayer team, if anybody needs prayer for anything, please come up and receive prayer. If you need to be, your soul needs to be awakened, as we spoke earlier, please don't hesitate. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.